Hello and welcome to Dicebox, a tabletop role-playing podcast where we focus on playing full campaigns in less well-known systems. This week, Lou Tupper expects a riot. Hello and welcome. I'm Adam, your friendly neighborhood game master, and joining me are...
I am Drew. I'll be playing Cato Burke, purveyor of entirely legal textbooks. Not sure what else you've heard. People are always talking shit.
Hi, I'm Robin, and I'll be playing Callisto Armitage, sometimes officer, sometimes revenant, and now also mom.
Hi, I'm Dez, and I'll be playing Luke Byrne, who has thoughts and feelings on the current proceedings.
Hello, I'm Nick, and I will be playing Ing, an android drone operator, who may or may not be a parent, but it's because they're not sure what their child is. I'm not sure if that was English.
Sure it was.
English.
Do I want to?
It was English at a minimum.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Thanks, players. We'll begin, as always, with a recap of last time. This one will be courtesy of Cal.
I suppose I should leave this somewhere where you can find it. Eventually, I won't be coming back. And even this small station is too big, too cruel a world to leave you on your own in. Ing. When I found you on campus, I was heading to... Well, it doesn't matter where or what. I suppose you gave me something to focus on. Someone to protect. But I have been keeping secrets from you for your own sake. These files should tell you everything you need to know. About the Revenant. About my list. I don't expect you to act on them. In fact, I am telling you not to. If you want to broker the contents of these files, you'll get good money for the intel. I've promised to give the rest of it to Brock Choi, and this helps his clients who also have an interest in seeing Tupper ousted. There's a good chance that this demonstration about Slag Pie will end up ugly. That's why I sent you home. Your heart, and you do have one, kid, even if it's not flesh and blood, wanted to help these people out. But I know Tupper. And I know that his reaction to being held accountable is to demand his pound of flesh. You and I have talked about Maddie. You've been good about not asking about it. The clothes and the piles of bins containing his possessions, smell of his cologne and his, our apartment. Can you smell? Gosh, he would have hated me for that question. Anyway, the kid knows now. And he told the rest of them. Tupper's been keeping the body cam footage on his phone as a part of threats from the cartel attempting to keep him in line. And that came up when the kid did his thing and fished for access via the idiot's crypto wallet. He showed it to me. He didn't know. It's not his fault. It's mine. I don't know why I egged him on like I did. I just know that I messed up, again, like I always do. Gosh, I'll cut that bit out. You want to like that kind of self-talk? Where was I? There's a chance this thing will turn ugly, in which case I will be obliged to protect and serve. Not as a PSS officer, but as a damned human being. In which case I may not come back. The money I've been... extorting from the frontispiece and others is in the safe. You know the passcode. Maddie flew too close to the sun, but you won't. And you can trust them. Cato, Byrne, Bronwy, even Apatia. You've told them your history. Take the money, call this number, and tell Ramirez that you're activating the Zero Protocol. don't trust Entwistle, even though I think Cato does. He hasn't shown his face around the frontispiece until recently. And don't fully depend on Ramirez either. He's got his own angle and family to protect. I thought I knew what I wanted. Everyone on my list brought to justice before it's too late, before my time runs out and the gig is up. Now, I just want you and the rest of the kids safe. If I can manage to do anything right in my life for once, let it be this.
Well, now we have to try to follow that up.
That was like the longest and most uncomfortable silence. I'm sorry, guys.
Cheers to my eyes.
Yeah, no, that was incredible. And now I have to get down to the practicalities of running a game. Thank you for that recap. Artfully done. It got all the reminders in there, but sounded genuinely in character and diegetic. You guys continue to impress in all of these things. We do rejoin the action, as it were. If we're starting on a freeze frame, that freeze frame would show Ing having moved away from the protest, directing his drone collective in doing some street art, kind of in support of the members of SlagPie who are being detained on terrorism charges, occasioning the protest. We'd have Burn sort of having navigated through some basements to a good vantage point, readying some sabotage that we'll get into shortly. Cato back in the frontispiece, drinking something relatively comparable to brandy with Professor Entwistle, doing some grousing, some reminiscing, some chatting. And then, of course, Cal standing in a line of PSS officers with a white knuckle grip on their riot shield as the protest grows as afternoon classes wind down. I think that the smart, from a sort of, brass tacks perspective thing to do would be to start with our other player characters and circle back to Cal, but I think I do not have it in me not to start from Cal's perspective, even if maybe mostly we're just waiting until we're not there. But Cal, you are watching this sort of, it's not even really a plaza, it's more of like an intersection near PSS headquarters, slowly fill up with almost entirely students, though some other folks as well, having gone from a little under two dozen half an hour ago to well over four dozen now, those signs of slowing, more signs and more chants in evidence as people show up, shake hands, get organized. You're standing in a line of about two dozen officers near one end.
I just look over the heads and try not to see familiar faces everywhere.
You do try, and probably you're more successful than if you weren't trying, but you do see some, not anybody that you're close to exactly, but you see some students you've seen around but don't really know. You see some of the people associated with businesses and venues around campus. You see, you don't currently, I suppose I should say, see Ing, though you did. He has withdrawn at your request. You see that the other members of SlagPie have arrived. You can tell because of how they're being treated in the crowd. You actually see a little cart roll up to one side with a sign in support of the protest on it, manned by none other than Sim from Izakaya Po' Boy. Continuing to scan the crowd a little bit, you turn up another familiar face. You see Lulu Sarasti, some of her bruises still visible, talking to another protester, and then taking an extra sign from them and holding it aloft. Somebody off to your right, the left side of the protest, has set up a small PA system on which they are starting to play what you have to assume are some slagpie songs.
Just sounds like noise to me.
Not your cup of tea. Yeah. I suppose if you were to reflect on it later, probably not occurring to you in this moment, it is at least slower, more deliberate noise than some of what you hear coming out of like the bars and clubs around the college, but it's still just noise.
I'm just watching, waiting, hoping.
And the crowd continues to swell slowly. Let's sort of spiral out from that central point. So, Burn, you had noted last time that you were heading to a basement-adjacent vantage point to sort of survey the proceedings. And in between yes. then and now, you had mentioned to me that you wanted to come prepared.
Yes. Specifically, I wanted to come prepared in the form of something to deprive the cops of their communication ability at a relatively short notice. I had suggested an EMP, forgetting that those are dear, as it were.
And relatively costly, and you've not got a lot to spend. However,
any?
There are a couple of ways that you can still have a similar, if not exactly congruent, effect. For one, you have, the ability, obviously, to access systems and make those, do your bidding. And for two, yes. You did have around the frontispiece before you departed some of the little biochaff bursters that you didn't use when you were in the basement around the Dreamers.
Lovely.
Now, those do need a little bit of alteration, which you'll essentially be doing kind of like on site in order to be effective against PSS communication. But it is a matter of, sort of throwing some stuff in a fanny pack before you leave and then splitting your attention between what's going on in the protest and, what's going on, on your makeshift workspace. As you, take some things out, put some things in, and get ready to make this work for short range wireless communication.
Excellent.
Ing. You have withdrawn at Cal's request from the main protest and noted that you were going to be getting up to some of your heretofore underexplored street art habits.
Yes, so I am using the collective to spray paint things like protest this way with an arrow sign, free slag pie. I'd also like to go around to some of the local establishments that we've been in and out of and try to make a personal connection, see if there's any, if they're working, they may not be able to go to the protest, but maybe they know some patrons they want to send their way. All the while trying to grapple with my conscience about withdrawing, but that seems like the decision for now.
Sure, yeah. And, you make some rounds in walking past the entrance to Izakaya Po' Boy. You note that Sim has put a sign on the door that says out to protest, and then has a little bit of information below it about where to go to find the food cart.
No, the Blunch place is out to lunch.
Who blunches the Blunchers?
The Blunchman, please.
The Blunchman, you're right. Goodness.
Scratch that. Take that out in the edit. Make it sound like I was smart the whole time. This may be a silly question, but to what degree are you embellishing your informative street art?
There's got to be some art in it. So it's got to be legible. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I would like to put something of beauty and perspective into it. Otherwise, what are we even doing here? What are we fighting for, if not something? So I'd like to, if possible, put something of humanity perspective art into the otherwise informative slogans.
Yeah. So this was actually a trick to get you to say something that would make you roll. was not actually the intent there. But I'm going to have you make an extremely unconventional roll here because I can do that. Hey. Who's going to stop me? And I'm going to have you roll instead of one of your sort of core qualities plus a specialty. I'm going to actually have you combine two specialties, namely robotics and graffiti, since you're using the collective to actually place the paint where you're placing it. So that'll be 2d6 plus 4.
Six and four, 11 total.
Okay. You kind of, you know, go where the energy takes you, and certainly the most detailed one, and I'm not going to tell you what you're most proud of or not, but the most detailed one, you actually sort of do a slightly low detail, abstracted vista of, like, you know, wind eroded badlands, you know, spelling out the slag pie part of free slag pie in one case, and, you know, similarly sort of like conceptual but quick you know, ideas are sort of your bread and butter here as you move through the Selden district, you know, at a remove. You find the process is soothing. You know, you still are conflicted, of course, about, you know, leaving the central gathering place at Cal's request, but this does feel, you know, well, I already said it, but soothing to do, you know, sort of taking the edge off a little bit. And it occupies you for a little while. Cato, you're back at the frontispiece. Professor Culex Entwistle is there with you. Last we checked in, the two of you had been, you know, chatting, catching up a little bit, drinking, probably not to great excess, but, you know, not beer either. In the meantime, Culex has taken out a tablet and is watching different sort of streams of the protest as you, you know, sort of chat here and there and pause for imbibing. Anything in particular that you wish to speak to Culex about?
Yeah, I'm looking over at the stream and I ask, so are there kids from your classes who, you know, are going? Anyone you recognize? Anyone you're worried about?
Yes, I can see four here, and several more had mentioned they were going. But, well, I hope they can handle themselves. I did tell them, you know, that they should be careful and to expect PSS to, well, try something. I also gave them very detailed specifications on how one of those Kumiko tanks is actually armed. They don't carry non-lethal measures, though they are programmed to use their armaments as a last resort. It's not impossible that, well, young people might be a little too cavalier about the measures that a virtual intelligence like that might go to. He, while he says this, is kind of like tabbing to different streams. Yeah. Some of which are just showing the protest. Others are offering commentary.
It's stressful. It's more stressful not to be there than to be there, in my humble opinion. But it's probably pretty stressful to be there anyway.
He nods emphatically. Says, yes, no one's free of stress in this case, but it is a unique kind of unpleasant to be here instead of there. If I were there, it'd be more stressful in its own way, but I would also be able to do something. If I was here, well. And then he takes a drink, tabs over to another stream, and to your endless distaste, this one has a little square in the corner holding the face and shoulders of Max Brodrig as he weighs in on this, as he calls it, unwarranted act of violence in our campus district.
Fucking and show you an unwarranted act of violence.
Culex tries his best not to snort the brandy or something that you supplied him with through his nose. As Brodrig goes on to say, you know, these slag pie types, they call for violence against law enforcement and government officials constantly. That, my friends, is not protected speech. That is a crime. And he's making all sorts of little emphatic gestures on his desk. He is gesturing out of his little box at the footage that he's got himself sort of superimposed on as he says, not to mention all of these student so-called activists, you know, the ones who aren't just going along with the crowd and seeking attention, are getting credit from some of their professors here at GPOL for attending this. This is a left-wing academics dream here that we're witnessing. This is the kind of disorder that they want to take place every day. Unless we step in and fight fire with fire, this will continue and it will spread across the station. Mark my words.
Why can't reactionaries ever describe their worst case scenario without it sounding really fucking cool?
QLX goes, well, first they would have to understand what makes something cool.
That's a fair point.
Sort of makes a very expressive face while he says that. Brodrig continues on his little rant stream that if this was a protest about someone on the right having been unjustly detained, or if this was an action in support of conservative values, you can bet that they'd already be breaking it up with tear gas and riot tanks. Culex tabs to a different stream that doesn't have commentary. That's enough of that.
That's more than enough of that. Living in an actual inversion of reality sounds pleasant, I must say. What do we do? Like, I wish I were out there. You wish you were out there. I wish those kids the best of luck. But what do we do? G-Pole is never going to have any fucking spine. Tupper's in power. We're not. What do you think we do, Kuel?
Professor Entwistle looks thoughtful for a moment. And he says, well, I suppose that these students have a good starting point, and the real problem, as I see it, is that assholes like Brodrig have capital behind them, and it's hard to overcome while playing nice. Playing nice is playing by their rules. They don't have to be nice when they can have the police come out and say, this is the law, we're just supporting the law. But, did you know that, contrary to what little Maxie there had to say, that I was told that I could be censured and have my pay docked if I allowed my students to go to this protest without penalty.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking stuff.
So instead, I had my students sign up for one-on-one conferences in my office and left a little Home Alone rig on a loop to make it sound like there were conversations taking place in my office. As long as no one checks.
I don't know if it'll work, but it's very funny whether it works or not.
He nods. That was my thought as well. And if they dock my pay, they dock my pay. Perhaps I can even get some news coverage for it.
Should we be streaming? Should we be counter-programming Brodrig?
He gets a thoughtful look on his face and says, well, we can go to the protest, but I know where his offices are.
Oh, I just don't know. I just don't know what to do sometimes. Strike that. Most of the time, I don't know what to do. There are narrow circumstances in which I know exactly what to do. And, you know, I guess to my credit, I tend to do them when the circumstance arrives. But most of the time, between you and me, I feel a little bit, fucking hate saying it, helpless. I don't know what the fuck to do.
He nods a little bit, you know, sort of morosely, not really commenting, and tabs over to other coverage. This is not a stream, though it does have some footage. This is actually an on-station news broadcast. This station news broadcast has a interviewer who would be recognizable to the sorts of people who watch more conservative news outlets, who unexpectedly is actually talking to Grand Cross's Prime Minister, Warwick Johnson, who most people on Grand Cross don't think about that often. He is, for better and worse, mostly a non-entity. Though perhaps relevant to this particular, you know, sort of news item, he has been more active than most in the Unity Party regarding the disaster refugees. Not effective, but active. And you tune in to this broadcast on QLX's tablet, sort of mid-response from Johnson, without really having heard the prompt or the question. He's saying, the way I think of it is that these student protesters, they're misguided young people that, you know, they'll figure out, if we steer them right, you know, the best way to do things. And this disruption, that's really not part of it. It's just a phase they got to go through, I feel like, and I hope that they'll keep everything, you know, peaceful and really above board. But, well, you know, if not, then the consequences of their actions, well, our government is doing as much as it can for the refugees from L4, and they need to appreciate that we can't do everything all at once, and we can't help everybody all the time. You know, these prisoners, it sounds like they're really rabble-rousers, and they should really try to take as a cue some of the other refugees that are doing their best to find a way to assimilate to our station and contribute to our society, not just ask for handouts.
How's your QX? How's your thinking it's possible to improve society somewhat phase going?
You are saying this as QLX is throwing his tablet across the room.
Yeah, there you go. You'll get over it one of these days.
QLX gives a bitter chuckle and says, you know, I was just pretty happy not having to think about that, asshole. Jesus Christ, my voice work is going to be all over the place this episode.
Switching accents is really hard for me.
Yeah.
It's challenging.
Yep.
In any case, QLX at this finishes his glass and sort of rolls it in his hands as he says, well, I don't like to advocate for violence, but Some people just need their asses whipped, you know?
No argument. No argument here. I guess that was sort of implicit in the whole what do we do thing. At what point is it correct to just start beating the shit out of people?
He sort of, that sigh is in character with Culex, and he says,
I remember thinking when Johnson was elected that, well, he'd be better than the last guy, and the sad thing is that I think he is. But it's so minuscule and milquetoast and, well,
incremental. And that's the thing, right? Incremental change. Fine. Great. Love it. But how much time do we have? You know, how many elections do we have before something, I don't know, irreversible happens? I mean, it's already happened. That's why we're up here.
He nods glumly. He says, you know, politically, this station is a little less than 10 years old. And I don't know if you ever saw the original plan. Not a lot of people did. It wasn't publicized, but a series of academics and experts got together and put together how the station would run itself. And it was never implemented that way. The corporate sponsors of the construction got a hold of it, and here we are now. But I'm not saying it would be perfect. It's honestly more centralized than I would have liked, but I suppose that there's an argument to be made that the environment like this space station. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was suborned before it was ever put in place. The station was still under construction when there was a round of corporate appeasement in its governing documents. And I can't help but wonder, especially given our dependence on resources from Earth, what we can possibly do to wrest control of our own fate back, short of... He stops and he says,
I'm giving him a let him cook look.
He says, you don't have any recording devices in this store, do you?
Not turned on. Still a lie, but a more plausible one.
He nods slowly and he says, well, suffice to say that some of my students have made a video game mod in which it is possible to knock down some of the buildings in Grand Cross in Simulacrum.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, that's where this thing's got to be headed, right? Like you say, the poison pill was in there as soon as they were building this place. Same as back on Earth, repeating the sins of the whatever. I don't know.
The tragedy of the Weimar Republic, he says, starting to get misty.
I quirk an eyebrow at that, but do not guffaw.
I'm glad you came by.
He looks at his empty glass and he says, no, thank you. It's been lovely. Well,
solving for a certain version of lovely. Yeah.
Yes, as the part of it that involves being able to chat with you in a low-pressure circumstance, lovely. I hear that Izakaya Po'boy has a food cart, so I'm going to go get a po'boy and then head home, I suppose. The Brim University can't possibly object to that, right?
They'll find a way. They'll find a way. I think you're going home in an explicitly leftist fashion.
Same.
It's the energy I'm trying to bring to this year.
he does chuckle, not as uproariously as I just did, and then sets his glass down on your sales counter and gives you a warm smile and a wave as he heads out the door, which I assume you unlock for him.
I do, yeah. The three martini blunch has ended.
Well, there's the episode title.
We're going to have to, you know, have a Patreon tier that includes, like, merch and give out blunch boxes.
Yeah. Right.
I would like a blunch box.
The heinously cheesy brunch t-shirts, but blunch.
Yeah, exactly. Completely inscrutable merch to anybody who has not listened to this podcast.
That's the layout. Yeah, isn't that part of the delight? Indeed.
You find the one other person who knows what the fuck your shirt means, and you have a new friend.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I let him out. I put away the out to brunch sign. I clean up the glasses. I go, tragedy of the Weimar Republic. And get back to work.
Yeah. So leaving the frontispiece behind for a moment, we, you know, sort of move back around our spiral inward this time to Ing. Anything other than continuing to embellish Selden District that you are particularly up to?
I mean, honestly, I'm feeling a bit lost. The art, you're right, has been soothing. I'm doing my best to, you know, capture something of nobility of the human spirit in the face of oppression, of choices made, of the way that life could be, of speaking truth to power as a mode of subversion, just trying to pour that into art that speaks as much at an emotional level as an intellectual one. But I'm not sure where I belong in this moment. At the protest, maybe, but there's a really, really good reason for me to not be there. But I'm also not without people to turn to. That is new, and as soon as that settles in, I think I'm going to head over to the frontispiece and see what Cato's up to and what Burn is up to.
Yeah, you... let's say arrive at the frontispiece a couple of minutes, maybe as many as 15 minutes after Culex has left. Presumably, Cato, you're just back to running the store by this point.
Yeah. Ordinary stuff. There's, I guess it's up to you whether there are people that have come and gone, but I've made sure to restock anything people have bought. I've made sure there are posters to be grabbed if people aren't sure where they could be that isn't here. Yeah, business as usual, I suppose.
Sure. And so, Ing, you come in to find business as usual.
All right.
More or less.
Did Hulex take his tablet with him, or did he just leave it where it lay?
Oh, he picked it up. Okay. It has a crack in the screen that it didn't have before.
Cato, how you going?
I mean, all things considered, fine, I guess. Worried about, you know, what's going on out there.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah.
And Cal's right in the middle of it.
Yeah, and I guess I don't know. We found something out, me and Byrne, that I'm not sure we were supposed to know. This is personal for Cal in a way that I didn't know until pretty recently.
Personal?
They lost someone under pretty similar circumstances.
You found out about Maddie.
You knew about Maddie. I had a feeling.
Yeah, it wasn't my place to say to anyone.
No, I'm not saying you did. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I'm kind of, in a way, I'm glad you knew, because the hoodie would have been weird otherwise. Real weird.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I haven't even really brought it up with Cal since, she told me. It's an open wound. It's not healing.
I mean, how can it when, I mean, the job involves, I hope no other wounds get open today. Literal, figurative, anything.
Yeah, well, that's the...
Except in Tupper, of course.
Yeah, well, that's the bind that I find myself in, because how could this not open up something else, and Cal's on the other side of this, and if this does escalate into violence, then what's she gonna do? Step back, join the protesters. This whole thing's awful, and I can't seem to find a way in my mind to protect her from what's going on. If I'm there, even trying to de-escalate things, even to bring comfort, she's just going to put herself in greater danger.
She's at an all-time high risk for attempting a heroic sacrifice, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the other thing on top of it all, I mean, not that we need further complications, but Revenant has been rather quiet recently. But in the midst of all this anti-police sentiment, I can't help but wonder if Revenant's going to show up and do something today. And there's Cal in uniform.
Yeah. What can we do you think, for Cal, for any of this? Just sit here and worry? Doesn't feel great. But I'd rather do that than actively harm things, you know?
Yeah. Tell everyone to go home. Postpone the revolution to another day.
I mean, Cal's gonna get called into work whatever day they call the revolution for.
Yeah. Don't like feeling helpless.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know where this is going. I'm losing it. I can't watch the damn streams. First of all, you know, you got Broderick commenting on some of them. I'd not recommend it, but I also just got the other shoe, waiting for it to drop. Mm-hmm. Have you had anything to drink since you got that stomach?
No.
No pressure, but I got some, some brandy or something.
Oh. That seems like as good a place as any to start.
Okay. I bring out two glasses and the brandy or something.
Yeah, no, you pour them. I will point out that our listeners may be aware that one of the first things that Ing did taste was actually the Cajun hot
sake. Thank you, yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Let's say I right.
Also.
Yeah. There. And when I say something, I mean
hard to go down.
Something real. You're going to be amazed at what you've been missing. Let me tell you right now.
Better than the sake.
In my humble opinion, it is, of course, up to you to decide for yourself.
Well, at least I have to try. How long do we microwave it for?
Generally speaking, we do not. We could do some science to it after we try it the traditional way, which is room temperature.
How interesting. So this is a different kind of liqueur then.
Yeah, Sim has some, Sim is well traveled. Anyway, cheers.
Oh, that got me.
That also got me.
We're gonna depart for the moment from the frontispiece with Ing and Kato sharing a brandy or something together. Next, I think we catch up with Burn. You are camped out near to where you can peer out of the basements and look at the protest, and you are tinkering with your, what do we call them? Biochaff. Thank you. Trying at least to get them ready to function as communication jammers. So I think insofar as this requires a role, and you know, why not?
It might as well.
Let's just have it be a clever role. So that'll be 2d6 plus 3.
That is a pair of threes. So total 9. Total 9
critical.
It's a critical something.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I will, but it's fine.
You spend a little time sort of listening to the goings on. You hear more and more voices. You hear someone start playing slagpie on a PA. Probably around the time that Ing is being poured his brandy or something, you sort of start, you know, putting the thing back together, and goes pretty quickly. You're pretty sure that this will at least temporarily, your best guess is 3-ish minutes, disrupt wireless communication in the vicinity, just wholesale.
Cool.
The vicinity, you don't have a good idea of how big that might be, but you're hoping for sort of like a 20-yard radius. Your most pessimistic estimate is maybe something more like a 10-foot radius.
Okay.
But time will tell. You, as you finish up, note that the slagpie music from the PA has ceased, but you are now hearing different music. How up on countercultural music on the station are you?
I think that depends on how queer it is.
Fair enough.
Given queer communities as a skill.
Yeah. Why don't we have you roll it while we're talking about it?
Roll for how queer this
plus
is.
Or just, yeah.
Oh no, this is cool plus.
Okay.
Cool plus. Well, fuck me.
So that'll be a total of 2d6 plus 2.
Yes, it will. No. I rolled 3.
Okay.
So 5.
So, you know that sensation when you feel like you have to sneeze, but you just can't sneeze?
Regrettably.
The music that you hear triggers the memory version of that. You're sure that you have heard this around somewhere, but that it didn't, like, stick with you enough. What's clear is that it is live music. Not coming through the PA system, but rather being played right there. It is much more up-tempo than the slagpie music you were just hearing. And it has vocals that I could perhaps best describe as like snotty, which makes the lyrics a little bit hard to parse. Up to you whether you find this appealing, annoying, or neither, totally indifferent perhaps, but the itch that says you've heard something like this before, you're pretty sure you've been exposed to whoever's playing, won't go away.
Okay. I'll try to, like, catch a recording of it and look up from based on that.
Turns out to be relatively easy, because while the vocals are snotty, the lyrics are intelligible, and so with a long enough clip, you can find it. This is a station-based band that calls themselves, in terms of genre, skate sludge, called Slug Jump. They, once you have the name, you're like, oh, right. And their whole thing is that they're kind of divisive. Their music is actually kind of popular, but their approach to activism is somewhat cavalier. They just seem to like to show up to any large gathering in public and encourage people to break stuff. They are here in the flesh. They are playing their instruments through portable amplifiers across the street.
Okay.
Cal, you have watched this sort of come together. You know, nothing has been required of you so far. From your vantage point, you've watched more people show up. I mean, you like came to the protest basically with Apacia. You know, we talked about some of the other folks that you've seen. Sim actually seems to be doing a pretty brisk business in sandwiches from his cart. You
around about the time that Slug Jump is getting set up, spot Tama, not in Revenant, you know, holographic projection armor, just, you know, as a person. One of the oldest people here, standing next to, I guess I don't know if you as Cal would default to the noun cat girl, but that is certainly the most succinct description of the person that Tama is standing next to. A tall woman with augmented cat ears and wearing a sort of best described perhaps as like a short tabard with a first aid cross on it. They're talking animatedly. Slug Jump gets going. It's even noisier than the slagpie music that was playing a moment ago. You spot Bronwy show up at the back of the crowd. I feel like I probably know that, you know, my assumption at least would be that you're not like doing something specific watching all this happen, but I do want to give you the opportunity to weigh in. Mm-hmm. So this is that.
I would probably try to make eye contact with Bronwy.
Mm-hmm.
And try to keep my eyes off of Tama. But
by making on to, sorry,
I would say that my the tension in my posture definitely increases.
It has pretty much only been increasing. You're actually kind of starting to cramp, but it doesn't encourage you to relax any. Mm-hmm. In trying to make eye contact with Bronwy, it makes it easier to keep your eyes off of Tama. Bronwy actually does make eye contact with you after, call it, a couple of minutes. And gives you a playful wink and then goes on to apparently people she knows who are here. By this point, the presence at the protest is probably in excess of 100 people. It's grown, you know, steadily over the last hour. No one has tried to approach PSSHQ. They've stayed well clear of the bottom of the steps. And so you and the other officers have remained lined up at the top. Tupper is a ways behind you, nearer the actual entrance to the building, kind of hanging out in the... it's got kind of one of those like little atriums that's not really necessary on Grand Cross because it's not like it ever snows here. But you go through one set of doors and then through another set of doors about 10 feet away to get in, presumably just to be inconvenient. He's kind of hanging out at the outer doors of those and watching and grumbling and telling everybody to stay sharp and whatnot.
I try not to roll my eyes.
I know before you were paying at least some attention to your phone.
Yes.
To be able to communicate with Ing and so forth. You do get a message on your phone from not only an unknown, but a blocked number. Mm. And it's very clear from your peripheral vision that the other officers next to you also get this message. It just reads, "Don't you want to go home?" The other officers, at least so far as you can tell, just kind of looking down the line, since there's really only two people to your left, everybody else is to your right, just kind of grumble or, you know, nudge each other. No one seems willing to react much.
I respond with, "Yes, Reaper." And make it so that I've typed, but then as I put my phone away, I ensure that it's sent out a delay.
Mm. Just to be clear, are you like signing the message Reaper or are you addressing it to Reaper?
Addressing it to Reaper.
Gotcha. where the initial message got a reaction from the whole line, you receive a reply that is not accompanied by any response from any of the other officers who assume it's only been sent to you. And it just says, oh, you know Reaper, the R3, of course.
Mm-hmm. I send the thumbs up emoji.
Absolute perfection. The reply comes back, then what are you doing on that side of the line?
I don't reply.
Fair enough. Slug Jump Set is in third or fourth song by this point. And I'm going to cut away briefly back to the frontispiece. The door opens while Ing and Kato are drinking. And an android with a broadly and approximately masculine sort of frame comes in, but dressed only in a very lacy bra and panty set with some stockings. Mm-hmm. Neither of you have seen this android before. But they enter and say in a sort of very, I'm going to say, smoother than my vocal cords will be able to manage voice, what's going on here?
Normal business stuff.
Selling books, toasting life. Are you here for one of those two things?
Life, then.
Yeah, to life.
Well, I do like books, but mostly I'm actually here to try and get people down to the protest. Either of you fine, well, ladies, gentlemen, neither or both, want to come down to the protest with me? The android strikes a Superman pose with, like, hands on hips, legs sort of shoulder width apart. Shoulders back.
With the hand that's not holding a glass, I sort of jangle the stack. You can't jangle paper. I rustle the stack of banners and say, I guess I've decided I'm more good directing more people to there from here and sort of holding down the fort. But the invitation's appreciated. The spirit very much is strong with this one.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm kind of in the same situation as, without going into details, someone that would be deeply hurt if I was there. Not morally speaking. Literally, I think.
Okay, that's enough of that, I think.
Yep.
Your newcomer kind of chuckles and says, all right, well, if you do decide to come on down, you should come by and say hi. I'm trying to entice as many protesters as I can, and sort of does a little pirouette and hands Ing a business card.
I read it.
It says, Mr. Snuggles, technically trans, with air quotes around the technically. Mm. And has an email address on the reverse side. Let me get a roll from Ing real quick. Let's have cool plus Android rights movement, which would be 2d6 plus 5 for you.
Drop the dice. Die. All right, so that's a 9 plus... what was the modifier again?
I believe it was 5 for 14 okay. Total.
There we go.
So you actually recognize the email address as belonging to a fairly prominent android rights activist.
Mm. Doesn't surprise me, given the presentation. Seeing the card and, you know, putting two and two together, I dare say that I'm going to be in touch regardless. I think that you and I have a lot to talk about and not a small bit in common.
Mr. Snuggles replies, "Well, that's lovely to hear. I hope that you'll, well, if you're not there today, maybe you'll be there in the future, loaded for bear."
I'd like to, is there a secure way for me to give a contact number? I'm not sure what the status of my mobile phone is.
I mean, what you've got is the email on the card. If you're happy with that security, then so be it.
Yeah.
So if you sent an email.
Right, then they'll have my contact information as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, if there's anything other than additional bodies that you need at the protest, do let us know.
I certainly will. And, you know, for the first time since entering, Mr. Snuggles kind of adopts a more casual posture, a little less performative than before, and says, "I expect that once I show up, things will really get going. Cops really hate me." And does the android equivalent of a wink. Mr. Snuggles has a more digital faceplate, so this is approximating an emoji.
Wish you all the luck with the indictments, the incitements, the inducements, whatever's appropriate. I don't think you need luck, though.
He goes, "Well, aren't you a charmer? We aim to make sure that, well, this one makes the news no matter what." And sort of waves over his shoulder as he goes to leave.
Stay safe.
You too. And walks out.
Friend of yours, or just ideologically aligned?
We run in similar circles, but yeah, it's like recognizes like. Not that the androidness is pull off that. Subtle, but
you could
beyond that.
You could probably pull off that look too, for the record.
Absolutely, I've got some other ideas that have been jostling about in the old noggin with regards to jostling people into new ways of thinking, but it's not a small move. I'll keep you posted.
Please do. Look, I don't claim your experience as my experience, but I'm all ears, and my own experience, for whatever it's worth, has been pretty fucking weird.
Absolutely.
For the listener, Ing is probably... Actually, Kato, how tall are you?
I would have to check that. I am 6'7".
So Ing is a few inches taller than Kato and probably a full foot taller than Mr. Snuggles.
Ing's large. I am mostly large because it gave me more room to work as I was DIYing. Mm-hmm. Frankenstein rules, basically. But
the laugh of somebody who has never seen a proper Frankenstein movie but has watched Young Frankenstein a half a dozen times.
Honestly,
a man of taste.
Yeah. So Cal, let me jump back at you for a moment. The intersection and its environs are now what for me are best described as Mardi Gras levels of packed. The crowd in the immediate vicinity of the PSS headquarters has spilled into sort of side streets. It is at this point that you hear Tupper's voice come over your sort of PSS radio channel. He says, "All right, I think we got enough of them. They're going to keep showing up until we stop them. So I want a full perimeter, sides and back, to start pressing in. We got to get them to do something that justifies it." Reading between the lines, what he's ordering is for you to start kettling.
Are the officers to either side of me moving?
The couple to your left are moving towards the side street on that side. The ones to your right are staying put. Presumably the ones all the way on the right end of the line are moving to those side streets. You're not entirely sure how the rear of the crowd is going to be handled or if that's going to be the part left open for people to exit.
I stay put and suddenly have to focus in on my breathing.
Mm-hmm. The officers that are moving have pulled up their riot shields, and after a short interval, as you sort of have a couple officers move around you and a couple sort of like come to form a line with you as the leftmost anchor, Tupper comes on the con and says, "All right, I got a couple more coming in from off duty, but until then, I think we're going to have to, the IMX drones are toast after the other day, so we're going to bring in Kumiko."
I discreetly as possible go to the dark side of my phone mm-hmm. and send the group chat just the word Kumiko.
I'd like to send my drones.
Right, everybody receives
and
that.
Get closer to where that is while staying out of the protest mm-hmm. itself.
I immediately distribute to the fixery darknet that Kumiko is incoming and do with that information as you will.
All right.
Is there a position? So mm-hmm. like they're obviously going down side streets. Is there, mm-hmm. do I see a way to kind of separate myself out from the line knowing that Kumiko is coming in a discreet fashion where I wouldn't necessarily be flanking any other officers?
I mean, without Tupper immediately noticing, your options are stay with the line on the PSSHQ steps or go with the line to the left, blocking off side streets. If you don't care about Tupper noticing, you got more options.
Also, since we've declared that, you know, I am just basement adjacent, mm-hmm. can I be finding my way to a roof?
You can, though I think what I'm going to ask for here is a
stealth
quick run. Plus stealth for a total of 2d6 yeah. plus 5.
Ooh, double 5, so 15.
All right. You are the shadow of smoke at dusk as you hustle out of the basement entrance where you were camped out and, let's say, up a fire escape and then across some garden boxes up to the roof of a nearby building. Like a lot of buildings in the area, the first floor is businesses and the upper floors are apartments of various kinds, which means that the roof is mostly climate control units.
I'm also going to text the blocked number that appears to be Reaper. Heads up, Kumiko.
There's about a 90-second pause, and then you receive a reply. A reply that just says, "Thanks. Knew you'd help out, winky face."
I once again respond with the thumbs up emoji. And then after a beat, "Stay safe, both of you."
The reply you get is of the, I believe that Drew has before called it, "much to consider" emoji.
Drew
for the listener, yeah, Drew has just reenacted this emoji on camera to great effect
and briefly pause, like the frame froze for me.
Nice.
It was true perfection,
perfect and good. While this has been going on, PSS officers have both fanned out and arrived to the scene in a way that starts blocking and pressing in on the demonstrators. More are still arriving now, both behind the PSS officers that are trying to press in on those who had already been there, as well as through the open spots opposite the PSS headquarters, into the larger crowd. Slug Jump has continued to play more and more frenetic songs. I had mentioned it earlier, but it probably bears sort of reinforcing that Slagpie, the members that aren't imprisoned are present in the crowd. And a couple of them have found some amplification.
I'm going to continue to monitor the position of the other folks with riot shields, looking for an opportunity to slip away or position myself such that I would be where the powder keg seems poised to erupt, whichever of those two opportunities arises first.
Okay. Perhaps this is a good time for a roll. Let's see. I think that a cool plus cool head roll of 2d6 plus 3 is called for.
Not rolling well today. I got a 4 total, so that would be 7.
Okay. Unfortunately, the way that the officers are arranged, there's really no subtle way for you to just like not be part of the line here. And because you're sort of on from your facing the leftmost end of the line in front of PSSHQ, you're actually a little bit away from kind of the bulk of the crowd here. But perhaps most significantly, you are on the PSSHQ side where you start to hear the approach of Kumiko from the back of the crowd, sort of across the intersection a little ways down the road. You, of course, can hear the approach from the extraordinarily cutesy feminine voice going, "Please remain calm and disperse to your homes." Along with some stomping.
I once again have to push all of my focus to breathing, 4 in, pause for 4, 4 out, pause for 4.
Mm-hmm. A couple moments after the first sort of audible Kumiko address reaches your ears, you hear Tupper's voice over the shortwave again saying, "All right, now that Kumiko is here, we should hopefully get some kind of response cause in just a couple moments. When it happens, I want us on it."
When he starts speaking again, I call Burn, but put my phone in the pocket next to the radio so everything he says gets put over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I record.
Naturally.
Assuming that's the intended signaling there.
And you've got the call, and that's all of the signaling you've got.
Right.
Yeah, you do start recording.
Where am I relative to Kumiko?
Okay, so if you envision PSS at the bottom of the rectangle and Kumiko coming in from the top, you are on the right-hand side of the rectangle about two-thirds of the way towards Kumiko from PSS HQ.
Okay.
And also on the roof.
Yes.
As awareness that Kumiko is on the scene spreads throughout the assembled protesters, the energy ramps up, not necessarily in an entirely positive way. People are aware of how dangerous this thing is as an escalation of force. This is compounded, of course, by the existing understanding that officers have begun to branch out to side streets. Those officers, for what it's worth, are pretty uncomfortable because they have the bulk of the protest in front of them, but later rivals behind them. So they are understandably nervous and twitchy. There aren't that many officers in what, from Cal's perspective, is the back, but that is the direction that Kumiko is coming in from.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a kettle, but there's no escape.
Yeah, the escape is the direction that the robo-tank is coming from. Air quotes, hopefully implied by my tone.
Well, and I'd mentioned that I was going to go near the protest, but not in it myself. I'm sending my drones closer into the protest itself. If the officers are beginning to go down side streets, do I encounter any of them? Just so.
I guess if you are coming within 20 yards of the sort of central protest area, then you might. Otherwise, they will still be between you and the central protest area. Though you will be aware of their locations through your drones, presumably.
Okay. I think I'm a block or two away from the main protest, so still outside the range.
Yeah, it may have been smarter for them to go further afield and then come in, but as it is, they hurried and are now surrounded, so to speak. Burn?
Is it known the degree to which Kumiko is hardened as electronics and electronic warfare goes?
I'd say there's what I would call relatively reliable speculation. I suppose the... what's the word I'm looking for here? Received wisdom is that Kumiko has a very comprehensive sensor suite, but relatively few countermeasures to any particular, shall we say, like band interference. Its response to a smoke grenade is to use thermal vision, not to be able to disperse the smoke.
So how effective do we think the biochaff might be?
You don't have solid information, but your understanding of what your biochaff modification is liable to do is that it would probably confuse it.
Okay.
I guess if I were to get technical about it, your modifications should at least partially scramble radar and LIDAR, as well as sort of add some fuzziness to thermal imaging. If for whatever reason the stupid thing has sonar, it probably won't be very effective, and the sort of big gap in what you're able to do is in camera sensing, right? It will be able to see just fine, or at least as well as any organic human being in the vicinity.
Yeah. Well, it would be better than nothing, and now I have to choose between attempting to disrupt communications, but I don't think that this is a device that now has enough range to really do that, given that the cops are spreading out and kettling.
Mm-hmm. You would be able to disrupt part of the police force, but not all of it, is your educated assumption.
What is, well, how far away is Kumiko from me?
Let's see. 15 yards. Getting a little closer, but orthogonally.
Yeah. And what is the general tenor of both Kumiko's behavior and the behavior of the cops, the protest, etc.?
The cops appear to you to be nervous, but not yet, like, panicking. The protesters are tense. Kumiko, fortunately, does not seem on the cusp of taking drastic measures.
Well, I'm not going to be the match. Contrary
to my... say somewhat ironically. Yeah.
I think then what I will do is keep pace with Kumiko, basically. Okay. From, you know, the roof. Mm-hmm. To laughing guy, that is to say, cameras up to and including Kumiko's. Mm-hmm. I appear as Ruprecht Vest.
I love this.
Genuinely perfect. It is relatively easy to keep, you know, close-ish to Kumiko's progress, as well as line of sight on Kumiko. Kumiko is a 3-ton spider tank. Probably both you and... Actually, not just both. All of you and Cal and Ing's drones notice Sim and his Izakaya Po'boy cart has run out of sort of like main proteins for the sandwiches. And so he goes to leave to restock. And the PSS officers flanking Kumiko as Kumiko gets closer to sort of like the body of the protesters prevent him from leaving. Not by asking nicely, but by essentially jostling him with riot shields. Now, Sim does not react particularly negatively to this, but a couple of the people near Sim do. In particular, an android with sort of a more masculine frame wearing a bra and panty set and leggings grabs the bottom of a riot shield and heaves upward with all of the force that this android's mechanical frame can muster, which actually wrenches it out of the PSS officer's hands, as well as sort of like clipping the officer's chin with the edge of the riot shield as it goes up and over, knocking that PSS officer down. This causes Kumiko to interrupt what it was saying a moment ago about, please return to your homes quietly, and sort of swivel towards this incident, saying with as cutesy a voice as ever, but in a somewhat sterner timbre, please desist in your hostility towards law enforcement. Nearby, a lot of the protesters have taken note of this, and a few others have, and various degrees of success, attempted to jostle the riot shields out of PSS officers' hands. Tupper's voice comes over the radio more or less immediately, saying, all right, tasers loose, everybody. They're getting violent. Cal, to your right, you see a number of people's officers' hands go to their belts.
Mine stay fixed to the top of the shield. Shit.
Eloquent. Slug Jump start to play a cover very, very loudly. I guess I don't know if Cal would know that this is a cover or not. But they start to cover the anti-flag song Die for Your Government.
I'll say that in the midst of the chaos, Diego, the flying ant drone, goes and lands on Cal's shoulder.
This is very hard for you, Cal, to miss, though very easy for the officer to your right to miss, seeing as Diego has landed on your left shoulder.
Oh, thank heavens. I look truly panicked for the first time, look at Diego, and then look out over the crowd for Ing.
Ing is not in evidence.
I just continue to keep my head on a swivel, thinking surely I somehow missed a giant android.
There aren't a lot of 7-foot people in this crowd, so it becomes clear in about the next 60 seconds that Ing is in fact not there. In the meantime, Sim has been trying to talk down people around him from altercations with PSS officers, but it is clear that this is something of a losing battle as the kettle gets smaller and smaller around the people in attendance. I'm going to do the unexpected thing and jump over here to Kato and Ing. Both of you are still in the frontispiece. What specifically have you been doing in the, I'm going to call it like 15 minutes that maybe has elapsed since the last time that we checked in with you?
I've definitely asked what Ing thinks of the drink and how it compares to the hot sake.
Hoping desperately that he doesn't like the hot sake.
if he does, we'll go from there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of a burning sensation.
This burning sensation is a little bit more canonical, sort of a standard burn. Yeah.
Also, for the sake of...
It doesn't, like, physically harm you, you know?
brief interjection. I thought that we had headed out towards the protest. Is the frontispiece itself, like, close enough in the area that we could stay put and still be within rushing distance of the mob if something needs our personal attention?
It is only 2.5 blocks away, but I did not remember anybody saying that you had left. That may be my mistake. So I leave it in, Nick's and Drew's hands. Exactly what is transpiring in the time since the drinks have been polished off here.
Yeah. Let's say
I will defer.
We had that conversation. We sort of one last on the counter, slugged it back. I put up one of the protest flyers where the out to lunch sign would normally be. Mm-hmm. And we closed up shop and made sure we were, if not there, then close enough to be there quickly if something got real.
Then chances are good you heard Kumiko pass by about a block away, perpendicular to the direction that you would go if you wanted to get to where the protest was on the street that the frontispiece is on.
Yeah.
Fucking.
I am forwarding Cal's call to the frontispiece's second line or something, so it can be recorded continuously, even if the biochaff succeeds beyond my wildest calculations.
I think that I, you know, once we depart the frontispiece, I'm just really kind of focused on presumably some kind of a screen that allows me to watch through the drone's eyes and get some visualization of where they're positioned. That's where I sent Diego to go and land on Cal's shoulder. Angela unfortunately does not fly as a scorpion bot.
Truly unfortunate.
Yeah. So, yeah, just kind of monitoring the situation, feeling tense.
And Kato?
Have I gotten any response from any of the fixer folk that I have put out the sort of APB to?
Not in any specificity, right? They've, they've mostly sent acknowledgments, but no. Well, on the one hand, nothing actionable, and on the other hand, nothing incriminating.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I mean, I update by obscure channels. Just say fucking ooh woo Panzer on the move, confirmed.
Oh goddamn, Drew! That's very that good. Is.
Very cursed, but very so good.
Cursed and good.
I suppose actually it would probably be Ing and very slightly behind that Kato who would notice the handful of different kinds of drones observing the proceedings of the protest.
Is there anyone else visibly on rooftop?
That is a good question that I think I'm going to have you roll to answer. Let's just get a clever roll from you. 2d6 plus 3.
Sure. 10. So, 13.
If they're there, they're hiding themselves very well. Would probably give it decent odds that you are the only one in this area on a rooftop in person, at least.
Okay. Good.
The situation on the back edge of the protest where Sim was trying to leave and Mr. Snuggles was sort of, you know, escalating things with the PSS has continued to be somewhat turbulent, but it doesn't seem to have gotten more concerning since then.
Don't know for a fact that the call is being listened to, but I try to drum out with my fingers on the shield and Morse code, making it seem like I'm drumming my fingers through nerves. Call Tupper, zero audio.
Presumably, Burn, you can parse this at least from the Morse code, whether or not you do anything with it, I suppose, is up to you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There is sufficient ambiguity there that I don't quite get the instruction. I would like to hijack Slug Jump's amp signal.
That's going to be a good little hacking roll. Fortunately, it won't need a ghosting roll because, I mean, you know, their signal doesn't exactly keep, like, access logs. So,
yeah,
your hacking roll is going to be with Clever, so a total of plus 7, I believe.
Yep. So that is a 16.
All right. It is, well, not exactly child's play, but also kind of child's play, seeing as, well, Burn.
There's no security. It's just finding the route.
And you do so. The signal is yours.
And then it starts playing the zero audio. At Slug Jump volume. I mean, I may not be doing what's asked specifically, but we're getting there.
Give or take a gremlinish interpretation of the request.
So, you have hijacked Slug Jump's audio, presumably in the middle of another song, and are now, if I take your meaning correctly, transmitting the ongoing communication from Tupper.
No, the prior protest recording that was on his phone.
I see. Zero. I'm glad I asked for clarification there. It is not an immediate thing. But as the audio plays, more and more people tune into it. This is going on while everything is sort of like drawing in closer to, you know, sort of the center of the protest. The kettle gets smaller. The protesters arriving behind the PSS officers to the left and right of the main plaza. Well, I say plaza, intersection is a better word. You know, sort of get more and more irate. And eventually, eventually on the narrow timeline that this is all happening on, people start to twig to what exactly is being played, including Lou Tupper. This is the sound of me fishing my dice out of this container to roll them with my hand for the first time in a minute. Thank you again, Den, for the excellent little dice canister. Cal. And, by extension, Burn, because you have the call going.
Mm-hmm.
When Tupper realizes what is being played, he... well, never has the best self-control at, you know, calm moments. This is not a calm moment. And Tupper, well, Professor Entwistle may have been a little overzealous in applying diagnostic terms to a man he's had extraordinarily few direct interactions with. But, Cal, you are aware enough of what Tupper's like to understand his petty tyranny, his need for his authority to be acknowledged, for his control to pan out. And it doesn't take an expert to surmise that he perceives his control slipping. Now, anyone with knowledge of the software that runs Kumiko tanks knows that they are not wired to, like, enact violence on command. They are more autonomous than that, and their lethal measures are kept as a last resort. Tupper, however, either doesn't know or chooses to forget this. And he shouts into the PSS communications. How would Tupper word this? All officers, shut them the fuck up! Kumiko tank, weapons free! The response from the officers is mixed. Some immediately wade in, shields up, truncheons in hand. Others level tasers. Others look around, bewildered, and others still take a half step back, looking around furtively. This is probably better than everybody just responding to Tupper's orders with direct obedience. And of course, Kumiko doesn't really change anything about its behavior.
Yeah, the moment Kumiko changes its behavior, that is the time when I deploy the bio.
Yeah, well, so far it has not. It does not really take orders of that kind from Tupper.
It takes me a moment to do any reaction, like leading up to Tupper's voice coming back through the radio. The audio on my end probably just sounded as though I'd been sprinting. Based on the breathing coming through, and as soon as Tupper speaks, it almost jolts me out of whatever state I've been in. What are the officers to my side doing?
Well, you no longer have anybody to your left. Those officers have peeled off to, you know, do the kettling. The officer immediately to your right is one of the ones who sort of dithers, just kind of stands and looks around. The officer to their right has stepped forward, pulling a taser level, and the officer to that officer's right has stepped back, keeping the riot shield down.
Mm-hmm. I mutter lowly so that the officer to my right doesn't hear. What the fuck have you done, kid? And then I kind of shoulder into the officer on my right and say, are we here to protect them or serve him?
So, because of the gear, you have not really identified any of the particular officers, especially since your focus hasn't been on them until now. But the officer to your right is a relatively new hire. He's only been in PSS for a couple of months. The officer to your right is a relatively new hire named Josh Woods. And he is a younger man who didn't exactly have law enforcement experience before this. And he looks a little bit bewildered, as though he didn't quite like parse what you were saying and is not quite sure of the situation, but you now have his attention.
I repeat the question again, this time with the imperative, stand down.
He literally does just sort of like look in the direction of Tupper and then back in your direction. And it's not exactly easy to read his expression, but he, after about a delay of like 5 seconds, he just sort of makes eye contact and gives like a quick double nod and positions himself, instead of in a line to your right, kind of one step back and to your right with his riot shield sort of like held down.
I do the same and I seek to make eye contact with the other officer. The other one that had stepped back.
Yeah, yeah.
And give them a nod as well if they look in my direction.
Sure. That is officer, again, you weren't sure until just now. But making eye contact, that is Officer Laura White. And making eye contact with you, she's not as old as you, but she's older than Josh. And she sort of gives you a firm nod, and sort of stays a little bit removed.
I continue to attempt to make eye contact. I might even eventually reach for the collar of whatever cop did step forward with her hand on their taser. Like the familiar touch of what would usually happen during drills, the head down touch, and try to pull them back into line with the rest of us.
You do get the officer step forward's attention for a moment, but as soon as you do, you realize that, like, oh, this is... this is Eddie Petty, and you don't know him well, but he just likes having an excuse to hit people, and he gives you sort of a sneer and shakes your hand off.
That's a lost cause. I will keep an eye on him, and perhaps for the first time since things have started to come to head, my hand drifts towards my taser.
Near the back of the crowd, this is beyond what Cal can see with any details, so it is probably just Burn and Ing's drones that take this in. The members of Slagpie who are in attendance have sort of made their way back to the back of the crowd here. And the altercation that sort of began around Sim trying to leave with his cart has expanded somewhat into a bit of a snarl. And it's not coordinated, but upon Tupper's, you know, sort of exhortation toward escalation. A couple of the officers back there have, you know, put their tasers to hand and started wading in to the crowd. What's interesting here is that Kumiko has backpedaled somewhat, gotten away from the press of human bodies, and its cutesy voice is now going, "Please remain calm. Put your hands to your sides or in the air, and holster all weapons. There is no need for this to get violent. We are all friends here." It is not clear to any observer. It is not clear to any observer exactly what happens next, but a PSS officer is knocked prone on their back, and a bunch of shouting starts. Burn.
I would like to note for the record that I am hopefully, if you will allow it, recording from as many cameras as I can infiltrate.
I will certainly allow it, but I will also reserve the right to dictate which cameras you were able to infiltrate as is convenient to me.
Duh, you're the GM. Sure, yeah.
Just making it clear for players and listeners alike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hacking and ghosting, or do I need to do these things?
I think it's probably a good idea to get those rolls on the books.
Sure. Hacking is 17, non-critical. Ghosting is boxcars, so that's 19.
All right. Well, you certainly leave no trace. And yeah, we'll decide exactly on the back end, what you
captured precisely. We'll review the footage later.
So, in the space of maybe 60 seconds, a true altercation starts on sort of the back end of the crowd. A couple of tasers are fired, though whether they hit their mark or not is unclear from the vantage points of any of our player characters. The response that Tupper has to whatever communications he's getting individually from people back there is to say, "Violence at the rear! Everybody press in!" But not everybody does. I would say more or less a half split. Unevenly distributed, with more of the people toward the front where Cal is hesitating in terms of pressing in. What is particularly noteworthy to everyone is that Kumiko is in the process of saying, "There's no need for violence, everyone, please remain calm," and stops for about half a second, and then goes, "Escalation detected, destination programmed," and starts walking away from the protest. Given the time of night, that is going to be where we end this session of Dice Punks. So, thank you for our listeners for joining us. I hope our players and listeners enjoyed it as much as I did, and that you'll all join us again next time. If you're hearing us now, then you probably know where to listen to this, but we can be found almost any place that one can listen to podcasts, as well as on the wider web at dicepunks.com and on Tumblr and Blue Sky is at dicepunks. With that, I think we're ready to say farewell, so say goodbye to the kind folks back on Earth, players.
Thanks for listening. Be safe at protests. This episode had a surprising amount of actionable information on how to do that, but it wasn't everything, so crack a book. then go out.
Thanks for listening, everyone. It's beneficial to have contact numbers drawn on yourselves and Sharpies should you engage in any of the activities that we've covered in today's episode, including and not exclusive to potential lawyers.
Thanks for listening, folks, and do not be a match at a protest.
Well, thank you for listening, folks. I do not have protest-relevant advice, but I will pass along that in space, no one can hear you scream for ice cream.
Or for any other reason.
God. No, sorry.
It's a good one.
And as the poet once said, but these ghosts come alive like water and wine, walk through these streets singing songs and carrying signs. To them, these streets belong. Beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. Stick around through the admin stuff for a GPOL campus safety briefing from Officer Armitage. The music in this episode, Augmenter Die, is by Emerson Boatwright and our very own bookmonger, Drew. Check out their other work at the link in the show notes. Editing and our rat new cover art was done by Joanne, who has appeared on the podcast now and again. Check out her work through on the internet, where she goes by Anything Sews. Site design and graphics for DiceMonks.com are by the one and only Officer Armitage, Robin. Hardwired Island, and it's by Paul Machevic, Freya Erling's daughter, and Minerva Machanda. You can find Hardwired Island at etten.itch.io/hardwiredisland. Links to the system and authors can be found on the Punk Grimoire section of our website, DicePunks.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, that's reward enough on its own, but if you're so inclined, you can help us out by rating and reviewing us wherever you listen to us, telling your friends who you think would like us to give us a listen, and even by heading over to our Patreon at patreon.com/dicepunks. We have fun rewards available to backers, including a patron-only Discord and access to the Dice Peaks After Show for episodes 1.1 and following. Regardless, we hope you'll tune in again, and until then, remember, subtlety is for cowards.
Greetings, students. This is Officer Armitage with your weekly GPOL campus safety briefing, brought to you by your friends at Polytech Security Solutions. The safety briefings you heard before were pre-recorded off-site. To ensure consistency across all safety briefings and increase your access to informing upon them, these will now be recorded live in an office with a supervisor. Which means I'm going to have to find another use for this damn personal recorder. Officer Armitage log, badge number A41214. This is my first entry. As part of the terms of my employment, I have agreed to periodic therapy sessions and evaluations to ensure I'm fit for duty. Not that I had much of a choice. Did you just roll your eyes at me? Can androids even roll their eyes? Gosh. That question alone would have set the kid off. Probably on me for not being sensitive enough, or woke enough, as he used to say. My kid got his attitude from me. What? Fine. I'll say you. You got that attitude from me. It's the only way that I knew he... You were my kid. You're my kid. And what a fucking smartass you were. A damn pain in my ass at every opportunity. I wanted him to go to a good local school. Fine. You, I mean. Instead of saying local, you found a way to go to space. Probably found a way to rig the lottery. Said you didn't like those androids. You gave everything fighting for their rights. Damn it. If I weren't so terrible, you might still be here because you wouldn't have felt the need to rebel against me. I thought you were soft, too impulsive and sensitive and too quick to anger or cry or both at once, but now I'm afraid that you were all that was good of me and you took that goodness with you, so fuck you. You hated me, and you were right too. But I hope you saw my glares, my screaming, my swearing, and my middle fingers for what they were, a brittle shell around the truth. I could never bring myself to hate you, and now I'll never get to tell you what you needed to hear. I wish I wasn't so focused on the son I thought that I wanted that I failed to be the mom you deserved, and I'm proud of you. I am so proud. And I love you, kid. Maddie. My Maddie. I would give anything. Everything. Just to have you home again.